shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. Yes, I'm back. I am your conductor, your composer, sometimes your curator, Alex Dunbar. This is Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out.
Without a curator for a little while. So.
I know. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. And it is great to be back. Took a brief hiatus. Have had two children in the interim.
In the span of a couple months, too.
Jeez, in the span, yeah. Busy.
There are 7 and 18, respectively.
That's right.
It's amazing what you can do with good editing. Hell of a montage.
And I'm going to let listeners decide if my daughter Cassidy's name had been pre-chosen or if our episode on the gallows changed everything.
How I felt about it.
Yeah, that was... You can decide at home. Okay, I am joined here today by Jack Estabrook.
Not possible. It's not possible. That's the best I come up with.
Yeah, there's not many catchphrases in this. Well, there's not, frankly, like a lot of dialogue.
No.
There's a lot of.
At least there's nothing useful. Just looking at monitors.
Yeah. Cody Wolf.
Yeah, I'm so rusty. I can't come up with a catchphrase.
There really aren't catchphrases. Yeah. And
flame on.
Very excited to have Nick Neuwirth here, and I think we should. Nick, I think it's in the canon of this show. People already know that you're a comics fan. But want to establish a ground rule, Nick is a fan of the Fantastic Four comic.
The comic, yes. Not the movie. Let's make that very clear very early.
The actual comic book. Nick Neuwirth is here. We are Brian Mueller still on location in St. Louis. We will have him back in at some point. We'll figure that out. I don't know. Stay tuned. We're working on it.
He's trapped in a parallel universe. We haven't gotten there. Interdimensional warp.
He's in the negative
transport.
Zone.
That's basically
planet he's zero. He's zone. On planet zero somewhere.
When he
somewhere.
Comes back, he's going to want to destroy this Earth.
Yeah.
To save his own planet, even though for no reason. Why did you even leave? Anyway.
All right. So it's our movie this week, Fantastic Four. The two, and I feel like we have to clarify which one. This is the 2015 Fantastic Four because there have been
Fant Four Stick.
Fantastic.
I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, the Fantastical Four,
which is not to be confused with the Michael Chiklis starring film,
or the Roger Corman film, or the Fantastic Four 2: Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yep, the Jessica Alba ones.
Yeah, or the animated Fantastic Four Power Hour, or something like that, which is a cut. So,
is that like Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends?
It was like that. Yeah,
This was the angsty and dour four.
Yeah, this is the depressed four.
Well, they were kind of dry. The dry four, we'll call them.
Yeah.
Very dry.
All right, so we're going to jump into this. The movie starts off in 2007, where Reed Richards, I think he's like 8 years old in this. I don't know, but
I think they're like in the fifth grade, he said, right?
Is it fifth grade? All right, so maybe he's a little older. So yes. Would that make him like 10, I guess?
I don't know.
I know there was I was researching online, there's some debate about when they show his one of the characters' birth dates. It doesn't add up. The math doesn't add up. I don't know if that's true.
That's the only thing that doesn't add up.
A lot of this movie doesn't add up. I understand that, but since we're on that point.
I'm really a little concerned that someone online that was their main issue with the birth dates.
It's been a while since you've been to a comic shop, isn't it?
Well, at first, now I knew that one of the big, quote unquote, controversies, I didn't really care, but one of the big controversies of the movie was that they hired Michael B. Jordan to play a Johnny Storm. So they made Johnny Storm a black actor for Johnny Storm, which whatever, I don't really care.
Well, it's funny. I think that was controversial, but I feel like once people saw this, like I think that actually was almost ended up being the least controversial choice, you know. But
where I was going is at the beginning of the film, there you get the little kid, you know, the dreamer, he's sketching out, okay, this must be Reed Richards. That he's like Reed, he looks up and then a black kid sitting next to him makes some joke. And I said, are they saying that Reed Richards went to elementary school with Johnny Storm? And then when they called Ben up, it's Ben Grimm. I was like, wait a minute, are all four of them? Is there going to be a little blonde girl in the classroom? Luckily, that wasn't what it was. But I thought that's where they were going when I saw that. I was like, wait a minute, are they saying that they all went to elementary school together?
Never mind.
Yeah, I did.
Are you saying that any black child has to be
No, that's not what I'm saying. But I the way he interacted with him seemed more like Johnny Storm palling around with Mr. Fantastic, you know? So I was kind of like, wait a minute, they established that they all went to elementary school together.
Well, they do a weird
thing.
Which
would have been kind of dumb, but they made him go to school with Ben Grimm, which is less dumb. I know they went to college together in the comics, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I want to preface some of this by saying, even as up to like 30 minutes into this movie, I almost was going to text Cody and be like, we might have a problem. I kind of like this movie.
Well,
through about 30 minutes.
It's okay, yes.
Like what I was saying before we started recording is that the first half hour, 45 minutes.
It's tolerable.
If it was like a sci-fi movie about these people building this device to.
Which is basically
travel
what the
to
first.
Another, yeah.
Yeah, the first 45
if it wasn't a Fantastic
minutes,
Four movie.
Yeah, if it was just that and then they go to this other dimension, there's stuff going on, then it might have been an interesting sci-fi movie. But
yeah, the first half isn't bad. It's just aggressively mediocre.
Well, and
it's like, okay.
You get like 45 minutes in, you're like, this is halfway through the movie, and nobody's a superhero. Well,
like right. I know Alex saw me tweeting through as I started watching it, and for the first half hour, I'm like, this isn't so bad. But meanwhile, other people I interact with regularly on Twitter are telling me, Nick, turn it off. Just do yourself a favor. It's not too bad yet. Turn it off. Save yourself.
I heard the stories. I heard about the production history, and they fired the director, and they had to do reshoots, and there were edits and re-edits and re-edits of the re-edits and all this. And the movie was panned by critics, and it has such a low rating. It's like an 8% on Rotten. And I'm watching it, and like Cody said, I was like, well, this is an intriguing concept. You get this little kid. He's a bit of a nerd, and he's created this.
Well, let's talk about this. He basically, I guess, 10-year-old Reed Richards has actually developed a biomatter transporter, and Ben Grimm, whose family owns a junkyard, they kind of form this unlikely friendship,
aka Tashi Station.
And they kind of form this. He does because Reed
he sneaks in to get a power converter.
That's right.
That was my first laugh out loud. Moment.
I forgot about that. And they kind of form this unlikely friendship, and it's actually kind of like rumbling along as this like Nick said, it's not good, but it's not bad.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like okay, like all right, this is fine. It's a little weird that Reed Richards was able to build a biomatter transmitter, but seems unaware of the concept of a Phillips head screwdriver until Ben Grimm hands him one. I'm like, oh, okay, that's odd.
Well, you've got your theoretical physicists, and then you have, you know, your actual practical engineers.
It's, yeah.
You know, yeah. Makes
sense. Teamwork. And then we flash forward to Reed Richards and Ben Grimm, years later, are presenting this biomatter transporter at a science fair, which I was a little like,
and they seem
why
a little old, because there's like a little kid sitting, because they're trying to establish, now, Reed Richards is arguably one of the most intelligent super geniuses in comic lore.
Well, you could say the most intelligent.
So that's his shtick. He is the brain of the Marvel universe, at least, but probably could challenge anyone in DC. So why is he like why not show like 7 years later? Now he's a high school aged kid and he's like in a university to show his intelligence instead of standing next to a fifth grader's rock collection.
Well, that bothered
you know
me
for
too.
Like a science fair, getting judged by his fifth grade teacher. Who for some reason is like, you're just a dreamer, kid. This science stuff's impossible. And I'm like, what?
Like, I get, okay, 10 years old. Yeah, okay, Reed, that's great you're working on. But you'd think in that intervening 7 years, like, somebody would have noticed he's pretty bright. And
accelerated
like,
him,
And you have to think that Reed is smart enough that, like, he really thinks the best way to demonstrate a working biomatter transporter is at his school center. Like, he's not like, hey, Ben, get the car, we got to go to Google, you know, or like something like that. It just is a little like, huh? But it's just a cutesy moment.
It's just now kind of hitting me. Maybe the idea is that this Reed Richards is autistic or, you know, maybe some sort of Asperger's or something. Like
he's a little detached.
It's a little, I feel like they wanted to make it relatable.
It would help explain the very flat delivery from Miles Teller.
Oh, boy, we're going to... Okay, we're going to get into
that, too. I believe my line
too.
Was, they have all the charisma coat racks.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot here that they were just kind of like... He's just kind of like filling the shoes of, I'm the nerdy kid, but at the same time, I'm the downtrodden underdog who has to show him up by being smart. But there's that was it. Like, there was no, like, you know... there was no character development. Like, Ben Grimm and Reed Richards always get the sense as they're like a Mutt and Jeff type deal where they're opposites, where Ben Grimm is sort of this rough and tumble football player, outgoing jock type who's really friendly and overly enthusiastic. And then Reed is like really quiet and shy and likes to sit in a lab and look at textbooks. And Ben is always like, come on, nerd. Let's go out and get drunk. You need to let loose, man. This dynamic wasn't there. It was just more kind of like, I'm Reed Richards and this is my awkward friend Ben.
Boy. Well, I am going to pay the movie a bit of a compliment. Was I kind of liked how they portrayed this unlikely friendship.
Yeah, they were both sort of underdogs in different ways.
And these two, like, that Ben Grimm kind of comes from a troubled home and Reed Richards comes from a very, like, disrupted home life. And there was something about the way they portrayed that actually felt genuine to me in the youth scenes. Okay, deteriorated as the movie went forward, but...
I guess I'll give you that.
My thing was like, okay, they build that up in the beginning, which I like that too.
Oh, and it goes nowhere.
It goes nowhere because they're at this science fair. He shows off his transporter. The teacher's like, you get an F. He's like, oh. But then these other people come over and they're like, oh, hey, we built the same thing, but we didn't know how to get to work.
I know. What were they doing at that science fair?
Were they just hoping that someone built a transporter?
I don't know. Were they like, hey, let's go to the science fair and see if anyone else has built a biomatter transporter? So. Like that, when they show up and Reed Richards and Ben Grimm are unfazed that someone's like, hey, we also have a biomatter transporter. Like, if I'm Reed Richards, I'd be like, what?
Rewrite rant. It might make sense if this kid created something astonishing, ended up in the newspaper, and then caught the attention of this guy.
Yeah.
So he knocks on his door. Like, I think you got, right, whatever. Leave me alone. I got things to do. No. We're serious. We want you to join us. And
For a film that kind of takes forever to get places at times, it also feels very rushed. Well, like they had to cram a lot into this science.
The gang is rushed, but then it draws out later. But
yeah,
so they say to what's his name? Reed. They say, I don't know anything about this war, by the way.
Spoiler. So, this movie doesn't tell you much about it, so it's fine.
So they say to Reed, like, oh, you know, we built the same thing, but we couldn't get to figure out how to get it to work, and you had this one component that makes it work, and we want to offer you a full scholarship to their institute or whatever they have.
Yeah. That is also a little unclear.
I'm not really sure what it is.
Yeah.
It's like this institute and where they've been building this machine, and so they invite him, and I figured he'd be like, yeah, I'll come, but my friend, what's his name?
Ben.
My friend Ben has to come too because he's my partner and we built this together.
He just ditches Ben.
Yeah, like, it's like, because they get to the school and like they both carrying bags or whatever, and then Ben's like, he's like, all right, bye. I'll see you never.
Yeah, because Ben Grimm is sort of very much like the Steve Wozniak to like Reed Richards, like Steve Jobs.
He provided that Phillips head screwdriver. So I mean, he's been working half the credit.
He's been working on with this for 7 years. It seems like he would have had some input on how it was built or whatever, but he's just like, it basically says, I'll never see you again. He's like, oh, no, it's just like a 40-minute train ride. And he's like, no, this is like the city. This is where you belong. And he goes back to his junkyard.
Where his family-owned junkyard. Although I would say, like, it's kind of cool. I have so few good things to say about this movie. But, like, how they show, like, Reed Richards, like, texting Ben Grimm, you know, as they're, like, do end up building this, like, super transport thing.
Yeah, those are kind
of
cool.
And there was a point where I'm like, wow, because that's one of the interesting dynamics, of the Fantastic Four comic, is that friendship between Ben Grimm and Reed Richards, which seems totally unlikely. And they did pull that off. All of the other relationships they failed on, in my opinion. But
I thought it would have been fun to see like him, you know, this rough and tumble kid like at this institute with all these brainiacs, and he's the one who can build things, whatever, which they kind of gave to Johnny Storm or whatever. But.
Yeah. They made them all geniuses.
They didn't need to do that.
He
grew up in a junkyard, and I think there's shots in the trailer of him like working on cars and stuff. So I think, I don't know if that's where they're going with it originally, but
a lot of stuff was coming out. That would have actually made a lot more sense because backstory in Johnny Storm seems very forced.
Pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Ben Grimm is a pilot, but isn't Johnny Storm a pilot too?
Going back to like the, because this movie actually pulls a lot from Ultimate Fantastic Four, which came out in the early 2000s.
Because
in the early 2000s, there was the Ultimate Marvel. Yeah, you got a version of Spider. Yeah, it was basically like, we want to use these 40-year-old characters. We don't want to be saddled with 40 years of continuity.
Yeah.
So they started a little offshoot universe. And this is basically sort of how the Ultimate Fantastic Four started. It was a teleporter. Mm-hmm. But in the original, it was Ben was a pilot that mm-hmm. Reed built a spaceship because it was 1961 and mm-hmm. everyone had spaceships.
Yep.
They had to beat the communists yep. into space, and Ben was the pilot. And for some reason, Reed's girlfriend Sue and her little brother Johnny tagged along in the rocket. Okay.
It was a little shaky.
So they yeah, it was,
yeah, I mean,
this honestly, was... it made about as much sense as this is kind of more logical than the original comic book was in a lot of respects. But it's still, yeah,
it still.
Well, we do know that Johnny Storm can build anything, and I don't know if you know how we know that.
Well, and he had a conversation.
We never see him build anything. We're just told
he built the car from scratch.
But what does that mean, really? Does it mean he rebuilt the engine, or did he literally, like,
I didn't know. Like,
he said he built it from scratch.
But they also said it's a Toyota.
It's a Chevy. Yeah, because one guy's like, oh, that's crappy Chevy. And then he's like, yeah, I built this from scratch.
It didn't, yeah.
He built a Chevy from scratch.
It was not.
Mind the ore myself.
Your Chevrolet's going to be calling, looking for some.
So they're bringing Reed in because they want to bring him in on this project of their biometric transporter. It's already been working.
They're already working on a transporter, but they can only send things out. They can't send things back.
And to make it, they want to put this dream team together of Reed, Sue Storm, and then they want to bring in a former ex-student named Victor Von Doom, who dropped out of the Baxter Institute.
Of course, because the Baxter building.
Yeah. And Sue Storm and Johnny Storm's dad is sort of the one heading this up, and he kind of convinces Victor Von Doom to rejoin the project, basically.
Well, he says he needs him. He doesn't really say why. It's assumed that he needs someone of that intellectual and technological talent to help him achieve his dream. They establish at some board meeting, we don't know that Victor Von Doom is a loose cannon. He set your servers on fire. I don't care. I want him in here anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
So
they bring in Victor Von Doom.
No.
And who kind of rejoins it, but who is, you know, kind of a jerk.
They keep setting up the thing where, like, he's into Sue, and he gets jealous when, like, Reed's hitting on Sue or whatever, and... But that didn't go anywhere.
It didn't go anywhere. That felt like a carryover, a loose carryover from the comics that they just didn't ever come together with.
And something they should have carried over but didn't was, like, he was a little arrogant in the movie. But the thing with Dr. Doom is, this is the most arrogant. Like, this guy was shockingly humble for someone that...
And I was thinking that through the
classically
movie.
Classically is... Yeah,
it's like they weren't really setting him up as, like, this, like, guy who's, like, a megalomaniac or wants to be, like, this megalomaniac or something.
I'll go so far as to say...
Or, like, power-hungry or...
I think there is the least setup or backstory of a villain in any modern-era superhero film, I think.
I have a question here. Dr. Doom is one of the most notorious comic book villains out there. He's like, wrote the book on super villainy when they created this character. That was the...
Yeah.
Right? So to have this guy just sort of be this, sort of just this mundane, kind of douchey, a little jealous, but kind of, I don't know. Now here's another thing that gets me. In the 2005-2006 Fantastic Four movie, they decided to change Doom and made him like this corporate villain. Who was intelligent, but he was more like a money man, who then gained like electrical superpowers or something. And this time they do another thing that's also completely different. And you know almost like are they afraid to adapt Doom more accurately because they think that having a guy in a crazy robot suit is stupid.
Yeah, because really the true 1960s Dr. Doom is a little goofy. It's basically just a guy in a metal suit who likes to build robots that look like himself.
Yeah.
I wish there was more to
it.
He also has magical powers.
Well, I knew that.
Because his mother's in hell.
But you can. But
and
you
he's
can,
trying to get her out of hell.
You could subdue the magic part. And then just make him like Tony Stark, like an evil Tony Stark, and have him make power suit instead of having, just like in the other two movies, the suit melts to his skin, and that's the excuse for, I understand that he put the mask on while it was hot or whatever, and it scarred his face or whatever, but in the movies, it's always like the suit, like in the 2005 movie, he grew it out of his skin and then welded the mask to his face, so it was kind of half sort of a suit to kind of like... The filmmakers are like, we think these elements of Doom are stupid, but we got to satisfy the fans, so we'll have it be half he grew the suit and half it's a mask. Are you happy? Yeah. Where in this movie, it was just kind of like the suit just melted onto his face.
Well, I didn't mind
I don't know.
I didn't mind it because it basically happens with this accent, where they all get their powers from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which
so I didn't mind that he also gets his powers and his whatever from that event. But my beef with it is that either make him like really buddy buddy with Reed, and then it's tragic when he's the bad guy, or he's a total dick the whole time, and then
that makes sense. It's really neither here nor there.
Yeah, because at one point he's like, oh, you should be working, not hitting on Sue. And then at another point, he's like, oh, here, let's drink together and have fun. You know,
it's
just like too wishy-washy.
Like, they're kind of friends.
Let's trash the astronauts.
Yeah. Well, this character is horribly developed.
It's also, now, I always got the impression, and I know, I don't know, because it's written on a page, so I don't know, but I always assumed that Doom, he's from Latveria, right? Isn't that supposed to be kind of like an Eastern European country?
Yeah.
We've had two cinematic Dooms now, well, technically three, who've all had just like generic American accents.
They did
say... But he was from Latveria.
He's from Latveria, they say it. But he sounds like he's born and raised in the U.S. I think the actor's British, but nonetheless...
Yeah.
I think both actors were British, actually. The it's always like, yep, well, in the first movie, he's like, yeah, I'm Victor Von Doom. I'm the Forbes magazine, you know, I'm the millionaire. And in this one, he's like, yeah, I'm Victor Von Doom. I'm the science nerd and I'm smarter than you. But at the same time, I'm dark and edgy. Would it kill you? You don't have to be like Boris and Natasha, but it would kill you to be like, hello, I'm Victor. You know, like
maybe Latverians have an American accent.
So Latveria could be right by Canada somewhere. I guess it's a fantasy world, and I understand if you're willing to buy the transport device and the stretchy powers and the invisibility and all that crap. Accent. But you can't buy the accent. I don't know. It's a stupid beef with me, but I'm like, Doom should be at least a little larger than life. They should have a little fun with this, right? It's a superhero movie.
I don't mean
the Doom bots. I don't mean the evil sorcery.
This movie was
not
going for fun at any point.
No, that's where they failed. I mean, just go for it. Just have a villain who is intense and evil and is maniacal instead of just kind of like, I'm a little jealous of you because you're smarter than me and you're getting the girl, but that's okay. But no, you let me fall and now I'm back for revenge. But
we're getting a little ahead.
Should be said that we kind of have to go on these offshoots because nothing really happens for the first hour.
Dip to black and say 7 years.
Well, we're going to get right there. So basically what happens is they're all working on this biomatter transporter. We haven't even really talked about Sue Storm, Reed Richards is interested, who played by Kate Mara, who I'm sure is a great actress, but man, she is a charisma vacuum.
They are. They're not. This movie, yeah. No one's talents are used in this film.
Character
that I couldn't get.
Sue
like
Storm is blonde. We'll put her in a lab coat. It's Sue Storm. There you go.
Yeah, but I couldn't get a handle on her character because it's like,
I don't think she had one.
Yeah,
there was not even an organic romance between the two characters. They have one conversation where they talk about music, and then she talks about her skill of finding random patterns and things, which made me think of the captive later on. And that's it. And then what? They don't even establish a romance. It's not even like a kiss or anything. And I'm not really, like, I don't know if that's really what the movie needed, but the characters are married in the comics. So there needs to be some sense that there is a relationship.
There is no chemistry between them. And I think this is a failure on the screenwriting level. I think this is probably, it's definitely an issue in the acting level. I think it's a problem in the direction of the movie. Her character is just blah. There's nothing there.
She doesn't even go on the mission.
Yeah, which I thought
was her out of the mission.
Yeah,
when they called Ben in,
they called the random dude in.
Well, right.
We're way ahead.
So what they do is they get working with Victor Von Doom. The team comes together. They get it. So the biomatter transporter is actually working
and it's stable.
Then Tim Blake Nelson, who kind of runs this corporate company they're connected to, is like, okay, great, thanks, kids. Now we're going to turn this over to NASA, and they're like, we want to go first.
Yeah, they were under the impression that they were going to be the first people sent
to this other dimension. I'm referring to it as another dimension. The movie refers to it as a planet. I'm referring to it as a dimension.
It says both.
I think they do try to have it both ways. Is it another dimension, really,
or is it more like another universe?
I will tell you this. In the original edit of the movie, it is another dimension.
That's what they call it?
My guess is, going back on comic nerds' knowledge, it's probably supposed to be the negative zone.
Yes, it is.
Planet Zero. Yes. And why not just call it that?
Are they afraid that's too
sci-fi-y? I mean, it's a movie about a guy who stretches.
Well, this is a movie that for so
does he stretch?
For so many stretches of it.
It's more like a limp.
This is a movie that, for parts of it, tries to be like, oh, we're going to make this realistic. Totally forgetting that the first word in the title is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the original edit of the movie, it was referred to as the negative zone.
Okay.
They then changed that to this dimension slash planet zero.
So even if they don't establish it like an official scene, we call it the negative zone. Like what if there was just one scene where Reed Richards is like, well, I suppose interdimensional travel is possible, perhaps some kind of a negative zone, you know, and then it's just kind of thrown out there. Like, that doesn't ruin the believability of the structure whatsoever.
You could have said, it's called the, and then just cut to black.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you say that again?
That would have taken better writers.
Guys, I got it. Guys, I got it.
So basically what happens is they're like, we want to go first. There's a weird scene where the guys all get together drinking. Reed, Johnny Storm.
They decide they're going to go.
But Johnny Storm, who, by the way, got recruited into this project because his dad was like, I'm taking your car away because you crashed it. You can only get it back if you help us on our make an interdimensional transport.
Which is this random drag race scene.
Perfect interdimensional travel. You can have your car back.
Yeah, there's this random drag race scene to show that Johnny Storm is somewhat reckless.
Yeah.
Of course, this is the only time he acts reckless.
Yeah.
And he crashes his car. And it turns out that he is also a gifted super genius, and his dad's like, well, if you don't help me with this project, I'm taking your car away. Oh, man. And then he's like, hi, guys, I'm Johnny Storm. Oh, welcome aboard. And that's it.
Yeah.
Now we're friends. Okay.
So these three drunks then call Ben Grimm, who
the
comes
other two,
in.
Victor and Johnny, don't know this guy at all.
They literally don't know him at all.
Who is this guy?
He walks in, meets them, and they're like, okay, time to get in.
How much time has expired now? Because he says like a 40-minute train ride. So they just sat around for 40 minutes.
I think they sat around for 40 minutes. Longer, Ben Grimm walks in.
At this point, I'd sat around for an hour watching.
He meets two dudes, puts on a space suit, gets into an interdimensional transporter.
Yep.
And at this point, by the way, if someone's watching this at home, I would say to them, stop the film. Write down whatever you think might be cool if it happened next. There's about 100% chance it's better than what you're going to get. Because up until this point, this is the point where the movie's actually okay.
It's okay.
It's
okay.
It's building towards something.
It's okay. It's about to completely fall apart.
Because I think this is where we get... This is where I think
it's, I just like that they're
it's
all...
glaringly obvious that it's a re-edit. It's beginning. It's going to happen in a few scenes.
Yeah.
So it's like that they're all butthurt that like they weren't chosen to go. It's like, why would you people be chosen to go
Tim
to
Blake
another
Nelson
dimension?
Also makes a good point.
And not
he's
NASA.
Like, yeah, like we have real astronauts for this.
Who have experience and exploration.
People are
geologists.
Trained for this sort of thing. You guys are engineers and stuff. Like, that's great, but
Tim Blake Nelson, who is essentially the villain of this movie, is 100% correct in this scene.
Like, it's like like a NASCAR driver has a pit crew to work on the car.
Well, like Reed
know?
Was saying, like, or Victor was saying, he's like, yo, nobody remembers the names of the people who built the Apollo. You know,
actually, a lot of people
shutter or rockets. Yeah, I know. He's like, could you remember who built the Apollo rockets? And I'm like, the Grumman Corporation? And he's like, no one remembers. And, but it's like, there's a reason NASA didn't send those people up because they're trained to build rockets, not to go into space.
Yeah, and probably real astronauts. So these four go to the negative zone.
So clearly the Fantastic Four don't understand what it means to be a team player.
Yeah, including Ben Grimm.
They learn at the end.
They do.
Well, they do. Including Ben Grimm, who goes yet has...
No experience in anything.
No experience in anything.
He brought a Phillips head screwdriver.
He is, by the way, the only voice of reason who's... Like, right after they land and they get out, Ben Grimm's like, oh, I think, guys, we probably should get back pretty quick. Like, this is, like, they're in some alien environment.
Take one picture, prove we were there, and zap back. Like, that was the plan.
You guys have been drinking, woke me up in the middle of the night.
So he's basically the designated transporter, isn't he?
Yes.
And Victor Von Doom decides it's a good idea to put his hand in a lake of green glowing goo.
Ah, when scientists do things that might hurt their hands.
And then the negative zone goes crazy, goo is going everywhere, everyone's running.
Like, this is the weirdest dream I've ever had.
Yeah, Ben's like, this is not good. They run back
Victor
to the transporter.
Victor falls down a cliff.
He falls down a cliff into a lake of goo.
A lake of glue, a goo. He disappears in a puff of green vapor, and Reed says, we gotta get Victor! I'm thinking... Now, as the audience, we know what's gonna happen to Victor, but he doesn't, so... No,
I really wanted someone to be like, he was vaporized, Reed. I think we all just saw it.
This is, I think...
Favorite. We'll come back and get him. Sure, let's just. Yeah.
This was my favorite.
Let's send the monkey back.
This was my favorite part.
He went to a farm upstate.
This is one of. They were on a special farm. This is my favorite part, is how they got their powers. Like, the machine's starting to go.
I didn't understand
Johnny's
this.
Pod ignites in flame, right? Yeah.
Ben's just gets rocks.
And Ben's just
it.
Rocks get thrown inside of
it's it. It's a shot of Ben just like, oh, and rocks like, are like.
In the 2005 version, they each get hit by a wave, and you get like a very quick flash of something. So like the Johnny Storm character, there's a flash that looks like it could be flame. The Sue Storm character briefly disappears. The Mr. Fantastic character kind of morphs a bit, you know, and Ben Grimm like turns orange for a split second. So it's like, oh, each of them has a different latent mutation that's being awoken, where here it was literally like rocks got thrown into the pot. It's like he was bitten by a radioactive super rock.
What happened to Reed? Was he like stretching when he got?
I don't know. They didn't. This was so crazily edited together. I did not understand what my eyes were seeing, even until they like their biomatter transporter came back to Earth,
and then I still didn't understand it. Ripple.
Yeah, what did she get hit with?
I don't know. She lands on the ground and she disappears and reappears.
Like, crappy script.
Because they were
she got hit with a crappy script.
They were like, oh crap, we forgot Sue Storm has to be on this mission. Oh no. We'll have her discover something is wrong, walk down to her desk, and then look at the computer right at the moment that they get back in the pod. Oh crap, they're in trouble? Okay. I'm invisible. She falls backwards.
This movie goes into X-Men territory.
Yeah.
Where Tim Blake Nelson is basically the Colonel Stryker of Fox's X-Men movies.
Yes.
Where he's using...
I'm just thinking of Tim Blake Nelson as Wolverine right now.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
He's gonna use them for tool or as weapons for the military. Reed manages to escape the facility, essentially.
Well, how though? They don't really... Because he
He gets
so moves. there's this the one scene where they're all, this kind of made sense to the story. They all have their powers now, and instead of them like, oh my god, we're figuring out what we got to do, we're all on our own now, there's this scene where it's a little bit like, it's darker, right? They're all strapped down to tables in this facility. Where am I? Where am I? Can you move your finger? Where am I? Where are my friends? Can you move your finger? Like, he's creeping out, like, what's going on here? I'm stretched like all the way out, you know? And all the other guys are there too, like Johnny Storm's like, why can't I turn the fire off, you know? And then Ben Grimm's like, oh, why, you know?
Why is my head a rock?
Right, yeah. And then you know, Sue Storm's just lying on the table, invisible, right? And now he escapes. He hears Ben Grimm or Johnny. He hears one of them screaming through the vent. It's Ben. Here's Ben screaming through the vent, and he learns how to, in that moment, he learns that he can tighten himself back up, and he uses his stretchiness to go into the vent.
Yeah.
Then there's an alarm. Armed guards are coming. Ben, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And then he wiggles off screen. And then I think maybe there's a wide shot where there's a little dot that might be a man running.
Yeah.
If you blink, you missed it. And that's it. Then 7 years later. One year later. And all of a sudden there's a conference room. We've taught them how to use their powers. And they've been successful military people. And this is where I got... These are the shots from the scenes that were cut out of the movie and were thrown into this quick scene where Sue Storm's learning how to make force fields and Johnny Storm's learning, I can burn hotter, I can fly faster, where Ben Grimm is like testing the limits of his strength. And for some strange reason, there's no Reed Richards. So was he written out of the movie for some reason? Did something happen to Reed in the original cut?
Well, I think that, clearly there had to have been, because in the movie that we saw, it doesn't even make sense that Reed escaped, because it goes nowhere. They essentially almost immediately capture him.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, and like,
well, they
I don't,
wait a year
they don't even make it clear. They don't even show you for sure what Reed was even.
They say the NSA is like, looking for him, but hasn't been able to pinpoint his pattern. Mm-hmm. They say that he's living in some South American country, that he's already learned how to use his powers to like morph his face for like disguises.
Yeah.
And he's made this suit with springs on it, which I assume are supposed to show that he's intelligent. He's built this suit that helps him control his power a little bit. And he's what is he doing?
But that's what I'm saying.
Is he looking for Ben Grimm? He knows where Ben Grimm is, because she says that. He says, where is he? He's looking for Ben.
Well, he's trying to find some way to
cure Ben, I guess, but Wouldn't playing ball with the army guys, then sure, I'll help you with the military, and then in secret, like, hack into their computer
systems? It makes no sense, and it's such a dead end.
This is the thing that frustrated me the most, was the moment I realized that I knew it was a re-edit, but I wanted to, it became obvious at that moment. One year has passed, and here are the shots where everyone's training.
But everyone's training, you know? And no one, there is no fun. I mean, the thing is the most depressed character in any film.
I felt really bad for him. At the end, you were still like, geez, he's just a rock star.
Yeah, but he didn't
Johnny's the only one that seems to enjoy it at all.
And even he's like, okay with it. Like,
yeah, it's not even like he enjoys it.
He doesn't even seem thrilled.
He's just like, I can do it.
I mean, Sue Storm and Ben Grimm are miserable. Like, right through the credits of this film, they are just miserable people.
Yeah.
So they end up catching Reed Richards in South America.
And now, Ben Grimm is angry now because he left. You didn't help me escape, and now I'm this monster, and I tried to help you, man. No, you didn't. You were gone. But where was he? They never say.
Yeah, okay. I have a note here. I'm like, yeah, what was the point of him being gone? Like, if I'm Ben Grimm, I'd be like, it's a pretty valid emotion you're feeling. He wasn't doing anything for you. He was just Gonsville.
Yeah, because it's not like he was on the run.
I was sleeping just fine. You called me. Now I'm rocks.
Yeah.
Dude, come on.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, he's on the run because the military was going to get him and, you know, experiment on him or something. Or they got him back and they're like, hey, can you help us build this machine again?
And he's like, okay. And now this movie presses the exposition pedal to the floor.
Yeah.
And it's like going 1,000 miles an hour. Okay, Reed Richards is back. Reed Richards, can you reprogram our source code? Okay, because we're going to go into the negative zone again. We've got these astronauts ready to go. Okay, and it's like, all right. Like, there's a point where I'm like, whoa, everyone chill out.
This is the point where I checked the runtime and there's only a half an hour left.
Yeah,
and I said, that counts. I was like, whoa. Because you got to also understand that there's credits in there. So really, you got 25 minutes left.
Yeah.
And this is after Reed arrives.
Yeah. So they send, Reed Richards is like, okay, can I, at one point he says, can I take 10 minutes to rewrite the source code on the biomatter transporter? And I was like, almost going to say to the TV, dude, you're running out of movie. I don't think we have 10 minutes.
There's so much precious time. You're building every shot is building to the conclusion. I have to rewrite the source code. Does that even go anywhere? I don't remember.
Not really.
Like, it plants a virus, it's going
to
work.
Just to show how smart it is. Like, you were just doing things in the wrong order.
it's just to be cool. So they send astronauts to the other dimension.
Where they discover, somehow he found a cloak.
And they find Victor
wearing his green cloak.
Yeah.
Where did he find a green cloak in the negative zone?
Now,
is it the American flag? Did he, like, stain
it
green?
We've only seen a small part of the negative zone, okay?
I guess he's right. I can't argue that logic, actually, to tell you the truth. This makes sense.
So with a minute or an hour 15 into an hour 30 movie, we have a villain.
Ladies and gentlemen, a superhero movie also.
Dr. Doom comes back from the negative zone to our Earth and just mentally goes on a
flame power.
Yeah, killing spree. Just Dr. Doom starts killing people by looking at them.
Well, and they don't really say why. There's a brief thing where he says, like, oh, you've invaded my world. Well, it wasn't his world to begin with, and now he's fused
with
this.
Yeah, no one said that.
And Doom is not...
We've got a villain, but we've got no motivation.
Now, again, I don't know too much about Dr. Doom, but Dr. Doom doesn't live in the negative zone. He's the ruler of Latveria.
No,
right.
This never makes sense because you don't know if Dr. Doom is the villain or if the green goo that Dr. Doom put his hand in is the villain controlling him. They kind of try to have it both ways.
I'm okay with a slight adaptation change to make the movie a little different. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, that was just like no motivation even. Like,
There's no, and Doom just literally walks around this base killing people.
Yeah.
And then Doom is like, okay, well, I'm going back to the negative zone. And everyone's freaking out. They're like, don't let him go back to that place that he just was and has been for years.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what? Why? Why?
Why not just leave him there and then there's no problem?
Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly.
I did not understand.
You can't bring him to justice for the murders that he just committed.
So everyone's like freaking out. They're like, don't let him go back there. I'm like, oh, okay. And they kill Franklin Storm, Sue and Johnny's dad.
And they took it pretty well. Like, Johnny had one brief moment of anger where he like flew at Doom and it didn't work. But that was it.
That was it.
It was kind of like, oh no, our father just died.
And then,
okay.
And
like,
then,
what?
Immediately, like, a vortex opens up, which Reed Richards instantly goes, I knew it. Doom has opened a vortex between us and the other dimension. It's going to suck this dimension to that one via a black hole and kill everyone. I'm like, wow, pretty fast, Reed. Pretty fast picking that up. All right.
Well, you're the smartest man in the world. So, you know.
Well, they kind of set that up, though, because they kept saying to him, like, oh, if you had done one little extra thing wrong, you would have destroyed the Earth.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true. They did set that up a little bit. So now they get sucked into the other dimension and immediately are like, yeah, we're going to fight Doom. And they each go at it in classic martial arts movie style, where it's one on one at a time. You three wait here. I'm going to go fight him. And then when I am done,
I didn't do it. Your turn.
Stretchy doesn't work. Nope. Invisibility. Nope. Doesn't work. You found her. Nope. Rocks. Well, he's making rocks float. That's not going to work. Fire. Haha.
Wait, I got a new idea. Nope. Same idea. Oh. Never mind.
All right. Well, let's try fire again. Okay. Maybe it'll work this time. We'll do it in a different order. We'll do fire first this time. We'll confuse it.
And at one point, they steal a line from Ghostbusters.
There is no victor.
There's only doom. I'm like, oh god.
Because that's what you want to do when you're making a crappy movie. You want to make people think of a better movie that they could be watching instead.
Right. We do get to see, and I'm very excited that I got to write this in the notes of a movie we were watching. Reed Richards Zangief. No, I'm sorry. Reed Richards.
Dalsim
punch. Yes, he does the double stretchy Dalsim punch, which is very exciting.
Then Johnny did the yoga flame.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yoga flame.
So then, after all failing to beat Doom, they're just standing
around. Let's work as a team now.
Yeah, he's literally.
He's stronger than all of. He's stronger than each of us, but he's not stronger than all of us. I virtually said it out loud as he said it.
There's a look. I can't remember if it was Kate Mara, or Michael B. Jordan, but one of them has a look where they're like, "Wow, he might be right. We should work together." And I'm like, teamwork. This is not that crazy.
I thought it was more a look of,
and these guys aren't.
They actually wrote that?
Yeah.
Somebody got paid for that
to write
dialogue?
That line.
So they work up this scheme where Sue Storm, who now seems to be able to, much as sometimes in the comics, like Sue Storm's powers are never fully defined and she can kind of do a little bit of anything. Mm. And then she makes the thing invisible. Then the thing punches Doom into his own suction stream. And Doom is vaporized. Well,
again,
Johnny like destroys the columns that are holding the thing up, and then it collapses that as he's being vaporized.
It collapsed out. Like, and I have a line of my notes where I'm like, "The day is saved?" Question mark. I don't know. Like, they all just hop back into the suction stream and go back to Earth.
You expect it to end with the end?
Question mark.
Question mark.
Yeah.
Well, then all of a sudden they're given.
Before we get there, that this movie goes very. I mean, the phrasing, it goes from them just building machine for a while, then they get superpowers, and it's kind of, and then all of a sudden the Earth's like being destroyed, and they save it, and it's this weird, the end, peak, nothing, everything, and then nothing again.
Yeah.
Well, then they're in a conference room with like donuts.
Yeah.
And the army guys are like, "Well, we want to use your powers." And then they're like, "No, we want full control of everything we invent, and we want a place to invent it. And I'm like, "What is going on
here?" Let's talk about this for a second. How crazy is that they're like, this is about intellectual property rights?
Yeah.
Like, that Reed Richards wants to be able to hold the
patents on the transport.
This is one of the few things that actually ties into the comics in some fashion.
I guess it
comes
true.
Up from time to
but
time.
But that's what I was thinking. I was like, I didn't understand like what they were or why they wanted this like facility. I mean, maybe it's from the comics. I don't know. Like, maybe, do they have like a facility?
They live in the Baxter building. Isn't that their facility?
Yeah, they live in the Baxter building.
But this time they're in some place called Central City.
In the context, I just didn't make any sense to me. It's like, what are they building? Like, they spent
stuff
10-15 years building this one machine, and then
Because I think
it almost destroyed the Earth.
I mean, Nick, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong. I think about 100% of Fantastic Four comics from the '80s start with the thing holding up a giant piece of machinery while Reed Richards works on it, and the thing complaining that it's heavy, and Reed Richards being like, just a few minutes more, Ben. They seem to have no other way to open a Fantastic Four comic.
There is no.
Well, I mean, I get that, and it's kind of cute, and it makes sense. You know, the Fantastic Four don't really have any secret identities. They're their own family. They live together in the Baxter building, and they
just in the context of the movie, I didn't understand why.
No, you're right. In this movie, it would make no sense because they have done nothing to achieve that goal.
So I mean, it went from them like, not even like knowing that they should work together to being like, hey, let's have this whole facility together and let's come up with a team name and
we can make millions.
Well, and at one point, a character actually has to say, I think it's Reed Richards who goes, we're a team now. Like that needed,
we should have a name.
Like that needed to be said out loud. Like that's how thin this movie's plot is.
And then we get the only scene in the whole movie that establishes the Ben Grimm Johnny Storm rivalry, where Johnny Storm just randomly says to Ben Grimm, we can call ourselves the three heroes and the thing that nobody wanted. And then things like, rrr, and I'm like, well, where did that come from? Where was that developed?
If you were not a comics fan, that came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why is he being such an asshole to the guy that got turned into rocks?
That's, yeah. I know.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Well, and Johnny Storm, they could have ended this.
The coolest power.
If they had ended this scene in the movie like a few seconds earlier, it would have been like a kind of clear, because they're kind of talking to about names and they don't come up with anything, and then Reed's like, oh, you know, it's great that we have this place now, and Ben's like, yeah, it's fantastic. If they'd like
cut there
or even shown like Reed like a little like, oh, look, then it would have been fine.
Cut.
But they go to Reed's like, say that again. He's like, it's like, fantastic. Oh.
They
fantastic?
Had, I know.
Yeah, they, fantastic.
And there's...
Guys, and there, I think we have it.
There's four of us.
I know.
Say it again. Fantastic. Wait a minute. One more time. Fantastic.
Yeah, like, it was like they couldn't just let that go.
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible. And by the way, I would say in the movie that we watched, there is no resolution of the, hey, Reed skipped out for a year and we all hate him.
Well, that's
it just never comes back.
Ben has come to terms with his rock monsterness, which, you know, he should eventually, but you'd want to see a little bit more of that. Like, oh no, I'm so ugly, I'm a monster, but wait a minute, I'm a really cool hero, right? Okay, there's a resolution there, but not here. Here's
which is kind of actually the Ben Grimm of the comics in a lot of ways, which he has some, which in, I guess he does go back and forth on. Like, not loving being a rock monster, but then also being like, hey, I'm going to have a good time. I'm a rock monster.
Here's another question. Would you rather have the Hulk's power, where you are sometimes super strong, but sometimes not, but you can't control it? Or would you rather have the Thing's power, where you're always super strong, but you got to look like a rock monster? But you're always in control. You're always you.
Some versions of the Hulk are in control.
True, but let's say...
I was going to say, there have been like 30 different versions
of Hulk. Let's say like classic split personality two Hulk situation, regardless of its gray.
You're
Hulk
talking about
green.
The Bill Bixby Lou Ferrigno Hulk situation, right?
Yeah, like a boiled down. I understand the Hulk is very complex. There's gray Hulk and there's, you know, multiple
What about
Hulks.
The Hulk that couldn't... When he saw the sun, he became super strong. That's one of my favorites.
Superman?
Wasn't it one thing with the Hulk where at one point if he was... It had something to do with the sun, where if he was like... in the sun he hulked out.
Wasn't the original Hulk a day-night?
I think they've done
it. It was more like Jekyll and Hyde, where he was sort of like, get out of my way, guys. And, you know, that, I thought that was kind of the original Hulk, was sort of
any
a big,
sort of
tough guy.
A-B scenario you can think of, there's been some sort of Hulk.
Let me simplify the question. Would you rather have the zero control factor, like you're you, and then something happens and you become really powerful, but you can't control it?
I'd rather be the Hulk.
You'd rather be the Hulk?
See, interestingly, I'm going to go against it. As a kid reading comics, I didn't enjoy Hulk comics very much. I did like The Thing a lot and thought the Thing was pretty fun.
I will say, as far as characters go, it's hard to find a character more interesting or just more entertaining than the Thing.
I would probably go Thing. I'd rather have control of the power.
Yeah. So this movie is junk, and let's talk about is it so bad, Scooter? Well, first, I'd like to break it down, and I think we may all be on the same page here. This movie didn't need superpowers. In fact, would have been better with no superpowers if it had just been a sci-fi movie.
It was a generic sci-fi movie that they just kind of threw some Fantastic Four paint on it. Like, it's just, we're going to put, you know, a couple decals on here. We're going to call it Fantastic Four.
Market it to the kids.
Because if it had just been about, hey, here's four young scientists who somehow went to another dimension and they thought their friend got killed, but then it had just, and it kept with just that science fiction-y plot. I think I might have, I don't know that I would have loved it, but I think I would have been like,
they could have called the movie, they could have very easily taken out the superpowers except for the villain, right?
Yeah.
Change the characters' names and called the movie Planet Zero.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have been like, it was 2.5 stars. I would have been like, it was fine.
Yeah.
You know, but instead, the complete, like, toilet water that is like the second half of this movie brings it down to like, no, like don't watch it.
And it very at times it tried so hard to be one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
Yes.
Certain music cues, certain shots, like it tried so hard. And it just came off as like the Asylum Films version.
Yeah, well, it's like the embarrassment of those. Like, that's not even acknowledged. I'm like, by Marvel.
It's
being
because
Marvel has to sign off on it, but they don't have the rights.
Well, because Marvel doesn't have the rights to X-Men, Spider-Man, or Fantastic Four.
But that also means they don't have the Skrull, right? So they can't even bring the Skrull into their.
It's kind of confusing. If it's a character who's primarily aligned with X-Men, Fantastic Four, or what was the other one?
Spider-Man.
They don't fully.
Marvel does have
because they
the
did.
Spider-Man
they did
rights.
Get.
Yes.
They did because get, they did get Quicksilver.
Because Amazing Spider-Man 2 was so bad. Our previous episode. Sony agreed and basically threw up the white flag and said, "We need help."
Yep.
Which some people think Fox might do with Fantastic Four after
heard they were making.
I think they'll
a
wait
sequel.
Another 10 years.
It's like a redemption
again.
I don't know if this deserves it.
I think this is going to be a reboot. Again. I think they would have to reboot this property
again. This will be the third time.
Yeah. Because to talk a little about what was cut out in the original version of the movie,
this is wretched how badly you could just obviously see where the re-edits came in. You don't even need to be
the one year
be
later
casual
sequence,
film watcher.
1 year later,
yeah.
You did see what was going on in that year with the thing and
which when it skipped ahead a year and showed that, I was thinking like I kind of want to see what happened in that year. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
So that was cut out. It changed the negative zone to Planet Zero.
Okay.
Clearly, a little bit was lost with Dr. Doom.
A lot was lost. He was in it for like 5 minutes.
They cut out the Fantastic Four.
Looking like some sort of Lawnmower Man-esque.
Yeah, kind of villain. I mean, instead of... Like, I always say, you could try to make a superhero movie a little more serious for a slightly older audience, but at the end of the day, it's a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Just go... You can have a lot of fun with it and still have it be viable by a major audience.
Well, and I don't want to be the guy who says, like, you have to take the source material.
You can be creative and do your own things. Yeah.
So the criticism I'm going to make is not to say they needed to do it this way, but I think that they lost two of the more interesting things about the Fantastic Four comic, in my opinion, are one is that they were adults. They're actually
kids,
Reed and Sue have a son. They're a real.
And even when the comic first started in the 60s, I think Johnny was he would have been the youngest, but even then he was like maybe 18 in the comic.
Oh really? I would
but
even
the rest,
say
the
20s.
Rest were at least late 30s, 20s, early
30s.
And Fantastic's got the gray in his hair.
Yeah.
That's his trademark of the character.
It was kind
of
cool that they were adults, and I think the second thing that the comic was really known for was a weird kind of sense of it had science fiction, but also fun. Like Johnny Storm loved being the Human Torch. Ben Grimm was always kind of like cracking jokes.
Well, they were like a family too. Like these are superheroes that do not have secret identities.
Right.
They don't need them because they're each other's family.
Right.
So they have nothing to hide.
Right.
Right. So I would have loved to have seen something like, why not make Mr. Fantastic like a Bill Nye type, like a celebrity scientist, and then
which is actually kind of what he is.
They call him in for some project that turns them into these superheroes. But they already know each other. They already live together, and you can show those dynamics and get them out of the way, and then they get their powers. End of Act One, Act Two, they learn about their powers. Act Three, the villain shows up.
Yeah.
You could even have it be a different Fantastic Four villain, and then make Doom the teaser for Part Two.
Yeah, no, actually,
and then do flashbacks to college. I knew this guy in college,
Actually, that'd be a great idea.
I also, as I was watching it, thought the other thing that could have helped this would have been if they had done it as a TV show and really, stretched out.
I was thinking that towards the end of it, I was like, this feels like a series. Like, this first movie is like the first episode in a series. At least the first part of it, up to where they go to the other dimension.
Yeah.
It's like, that felt like the first, extended episode of a series or whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
it didn't work.
Yeah. It just did, yeah.
Well, my whole thing with the cut that we watched, I was thinking this morning, is it felt like a movie that I had on in the background while I was doing other things. And at the end of it, I was like, oh, wow, I missed a lot of that movie because I was doing other things. But I wasn't. I was paying attention to this movie.
Yeah.
And I still felt like I missed a ton of things.
Yeah.
I was shocked at how short it was. Because I was expecting it was going to be like, you know, it felt a lot faster, too. Like, again, they get the gang together and introduce the villain when there is 20 minutes left on the clock.
Yeah. Well, I think the original cut was, or the director's vision was like a 2-hour, 20-minute movie.
2 hours,
and it ended up being like an hour 30.
Nick and I were talking about the only superpower fight you see in this superhero movie is the final fight.
And
that's it.
The final fight. You would expect at least two. At least two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Where they'd be the first challenge, they lose, and they come back together and they win.
Or even just, you get to see that, yeah.
See their powers in action. Like at least the 2005 Fantastic Four. As corny as it was, it seemed to have get more of the spirit of it. Like, there's a scene where they're all just standing around and there's this massive accident, and then each one does something to save everyone in the accident. Like, Johnny Storm is able to take the fire and suck it up so this burning car is no longer burning. Sue Storm covers a little child with her force field and then that protects them, you know. Ben Grimm pulls a school bus up off the ground. Mr. Fantastic stretches down and catches a kid, and then everyone saw it. And they're like, we're out now, I guess. Everyone knows who we are, haha. And that kind of worked.
Yeah.
And that's one scene. One scene that is kind of like, oh, they kind of are using, what can we use these powers for? Well, let's try it, you know?
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't the best movie ever, but it felt more like appropriate to the source material, which, again, I don't read Fantastic Four, but I know enough about it where I think it was,
I would
at least it had a charm
and
about it.
This movie was such a disaster. Basically, the guy who directed it got booted off of a Star Wars
project.
I've
heard the horror stories, yeah.
Apparently the word kind of traveled through
Marvel
into Disney that, you know, that this was going badly, and he was off. So, yikes. That's...
Well, what... I heard so many things. Like, he was showing up to work, like, stoned or something?
Yeah, there were claims of that being... I mean, it
I don't
sounds
know if it's true.
Like,
again, this is what I've read, so I don't know.
It sounds like things just, by everyone's admission, really went off the rails, like, towards the end of shooting.
I've heard he's being a jerk to the actors.
Unprofessional.
Yeah.
He wanted a different actor for Sue Storm, so he was, like, a jerk to her the whole movie and stuff like that.
Maybe that explains why Kate Mara's performance is so
bizarre.
She was
like, screw you, I'll just mumble it out. Yeah. Maybe.
Check already cleared.
Yeah. So let's do is so bad it's good. I'll start for once. I am gonna say no, but it's weird. This is almost unlike any movie we've done, and that the first 45 minutes is actually a good to decent movie,
and
the second 45 minutes is just dumpster water. So I would say no.
The kind that's been sitting out in the hot sun with the mosquitoes flying over it.
Yeah,
it's got that,
and there's a little dairy in it. You know. Yeah. So I'm gonna say no. Cody.
I don't think I could say it's so bad it's good. I think it's. I mean, I would say watch it if you want to see like the worst possible way to do a superhero movie in this day and age. But
yeah,
I don't know. I maybe watch the first hour and then turn it off.
Literally, when the scene comes up where they are going to get the four guys are going to go to the other dimension, seriously, stomp it, pull the DVD out, break it over your leg. And
if you want to watch it as a short movie where these people build a machine to go to another dimension and then it all goes wrong and they all die, then stop it when Johnny Storm's on fire and there you
that's
go.
Right.
It's a,
oh,
it's
yeah.
a tragic movie. Then,
yeah, but... re-edit so it just goes to black at that point. You're like, what a sad sample exploration. Yeah. Jack, your thought?
They meddled with powers they didn't understand. No, I think this movie is not so bad. It's good. I think it's an interesting... We've done them before, obviously. Supernova was a good example of a film that could have been a lot better, but because of uncontrollable aspects, behind-the-scenes drama, corporate meddling, or whatever reasons, it got re-edited, and a horrible movie was made that cost a lot of money. Now, is this the worst movie ever? No. Certainly not. But it was disappointing. It had interesting concepts that weren't realized. I think it's an interesting experiment in this is what re-editing can do to a movie. Like, it's a blaring... Even Superman 2, the Richard Lester version, if you don't know it, you can't really tell that was a re-edit if you don't know it going in. Now, true, I knew this going in, but it was a lot easier to pick out those problems. I think if you're curious and you want to see it from a filmmaking perspective as to what can happen when things go bad, this might be like an Alien 3 type scenario or Superman 2 type scenario where this movie was... I would be interested to see the original cut, but I have no faith that that would have been a better movie.
Well, just to mention quickly, too, based on that, If you go watch, if you watch the movie and then watch the trailer after you watch the movie, 45 to 50% of the trailer isn't even in the movie.
Right, right.
So it's
right.
like you could see the potential there of something, but it just wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, Nick.
Yeah. Even divorcing myself from the fact that I am a huge fan of the comic book, the first half is by itself would have been a very competently but ultimately forgettable movie. Just very generic sci-fi. But the second half just gets so aggressively dumb.
Yeah.
With no no character motivation, no explanation for anything. No, it just that, you know, the first half would just be bad for being forgettable. The second half is just bad for being memorable in all the wrong ways.
Yeah. How did you explain it when you sent the message out to us?
Hold on, I gotta
let's read it. Let's get a quote.
Well, I think I said it got exponentially dumber.
Something
as
like that,
posted.
Yeah.
It really does.
It was basically a Reed Richards equation where, you know...
As the movie is like trying to speed up, it's like it gets dumber.
Said that movie was like an exponential equation. The closer you get to the ending, the more magnitudes of dumb it gets.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty true. It's pretty true.
The closer you reach, come to the end, the higher the level of dumb gets.
The one thing I took away from it that I thought was enjoyable was... that Michael B. Jordan's natural charisma is so strong that it even still comes through in, like, there's something just very likable about him, even in the second half of this movie where I'm like, I don't care about anything that's going on. I don't understand what's going on. This is all terrible. It's like, yeah, he's pretty watchable. You know, like, he's, I don't know even, I don't care about his character per se, but what he's doing is... just so naturally talented and charismatic that I was like, yeah, all right, you know, like it's a weird compliment that I would pay that if anybody comes out of this looking pretty good, I would say it's him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Yeah. This was a rough one. We have more episodes coming up. I'm going to be probably in and out where I think I'm going to be here every other episode for a little while as I'm on twins duty. So I know there's some guest hosts who have expressed interest in coming in.
Yes.
I, by the way, if you have not listened to the Pay the Ghost episode yet, everyone should listen to that. It's fantastic.
Yes.
It is. I laughed out loud the whole way through.
What did you just say? Could you say that again?
Yeah. No, you're not tricking me, Jack. Yeah. What a wonderful,
there's a
wonderful
movie called Pay the Ghost.
Wonderful episode that was. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Wind Up Films, our hilarious Facebook page.
Needs an update, you know.
And I would actually. Oh, what? Well, I don't know. This movie isn't. This is not going to be a good one for pictures.
Well, I'll find something.
We'll have something, but this is not a visually comedic movie.
Grab a picture from the Roger Corman version.
There we go.
Actually, well, I have an idea. I'll tell you off mic. Okay. I have an off mic idea. All right, we will see you back here very soon. Have a great something. I don't know what I was going to say. This is not live. I was about to say
today's
we're live.
Super Bowl, so.
Yeah.
Enjoy the Super Bowl.
I hope you enjoyed your Super Bowl, everyone. All right, bye.